Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here. I enjoyed the service this morning. I wasn't expecting an introduction by way of my great-grandfather. I barely remember him. I was, I think, 11 years old when he passed away, 10 or 11 years old. So I have some memories of him, but not a lot. Some of you maybe have more. Bring you greetings from the Susquehanna Valley Congregation, Central Pennsylvania. If you find yourself in that area, come join us. We are glad to have fellowship with other believers as we can, so come and join us there. I was blessed this morning with a Sunday school discussion, and I felt like it was, I believe, something that was, well, I was thinking about the message I was going to preach, so maybe you won't see the connections like I did or feel them like I did, but this morning I want to look at our commitment to Christ. The title of my message is Sold Out for Christ. What do we mean by being sold out for Christ? Maybe you think about how there's so many things that are sold out right now. You go to the store and there's empty shelves. Maybe you search for something online on Amazon and it says sold out or out of stock. You can't get it. That's not exactly what we're talking about this morning, being sold out for Christ. I found a definition that I believe has encapsulated a little bit what I want to look at this morning about being sold out for Christ. It says completely committed, devoted, invested, and engaged to a cause. To have no reservations about the decision you are making. To be willing to go anywhere, do anything, and give up everything in order to achieve your goal by any means necessary. Are you sold out for Christ this morning? It's a challenge to me, and I want to share that challenge with you. How committed are we? We were talking about in this adult Sunday school, it was a discussion about our light, letting our light shine, and why does that light grow dim sometimes? Why does that light tend to fade? Is it possible that it's our commitment? How committed are we? How much do we let other things get in the way of our relationship with our Lord? Maybe another analogy. The military, the U.S. military, there is people who are committed. I found a definition of a veteran. A veteran is someone who at one point in their life wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including their life. This morning, have you written a blank check for God? Have you said, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere you ask me to go? What does it mean to be sold out for Christ? You can turn to Luke chapter 14. For a text passage. We're going to turn to several different passages this morning, but we'll start here, and this is where we'll end also at the end of the message. Luke 14, I want to read just an introduction here, just three verses, verses 25 through 27. Luke 14, 25, and there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, talking about Jesus, a group of many people, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Are you wanting to be one of Jesus' disciples this morning? Jesus laid out here a very, could we say, a very tight path to walk to be considered one of Jesus' disciples. What are you willing to give up? What are you tempted to put before Jesus in your life? Is Jesus first? Before your family, before your life? Yes, and I believe Jesus wants all And I know we put a lot of emphasis on family life, and that is important. I'm not trying to minimize that this morning, but I think it talks about a priority. Where is your main focus in life? What are you striving for this morning? Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Are we giving our bodies as a sacrifice? It says it's only our reasonable service. I believe being sold out for Christ will mean we will give everything else we hold valuable. Let it go to follow Christ if Christ calls us to do that. You can turn to Matthew 13 for another passage. Matthew 13, I'm going to read verses 44 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, that which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he hath, and bought it. Notice in verse 44, this man sold all that he had, and it says he did it with joy. He was willing to do this. He was willing to give up everything he had for that one treasure that he had found, the kingdom of heaven. Are you joyfully selling all you have, giving all that you have for Christ, making sacrifices for the kingdom of God? Are you a Christian because you want to be, or are you a Christian by default? Another thing that I think we need to think about. There is a difference between a half-hearted Christian and a sold-out Christian. Maybe you're here because you were born and raised in this congregation, and it seemed like the only right thing to do to become to make a commitment for Christ, but your heart's not here. I trust it is. I want to challenge you this morning, if you are half-hearted, to put your all into serving Christ. Why do we need to be sold out for Christ? Why is this necessary? Why does Jesus ask for this type of a commitment out of us as humanity? Is it really necessary? Is it possible to still be a Christian and hold on to part of my life for myself? I want to look at a few things that I believe are reasons why Christ asked us to give everything for him. First one is Christ died for us. That song we just sang, paid in full. Jesus has bought our redemption. And when we think about what he has done for us, it's only right that we give all we have in return. Philippians 4, I want to read a few verses there. Philippians 4, 5 through 11. Looking at what Jesus gave up to come here for us. I'm sorry, I believe it's Philippians 2. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus came here voluntarily. He chose to come to this earth and give his life. Because of his love for you and I, he left the glories of heaven. He became a lowly peasant boy and grew up here on this earth. He was born in a stable. He had less than many of us were raised with, I believe. He willingly gave his life for the needs of the people around him. You think of his ministry and how he would go out of the way to heal the sick, those that were less fortunate, teaching them, often being rejected and despised. Why did he do it? Because of his love for us. He suffered cruel abuse at the hands of his creation, the mockery of the soldiers. His disciples forsook him. They ran. Why? Why did he do that? Because of his love for us. He died on a cross, a painful, torturous, cruel way to die, a humiliating way to die. And he did it all for me. He did it for you. And then we ask, do we really need to be committed? Yes, we do. He gave everything for us. Jesus gave all for us. It's only right that we, as his children, would live in full commitment and dedication to him. The second reason why I believe we need to be sold out for Christ: divided loyalties do not work. Matthew 6, verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. But can I keep a little bit of my life for myself? Can I be just a little bit, have a little bit for myself? Is it really necessary to give everything? This verse says it's impossible to serve two masters. Those of you that are employed, you're an employee somewhere working for a employer. He's expecting, if you're a full-time employee, he's expecting full commitment. He's expecting you to make your job your priority during your working hours. I don't know what, maybe you have an employer that would be okay with this, but let's just say some afternoon you say, "I don't think I'm coming to work tomorrow. I decided I'm going to go help my friend has a project that he wants some help on, and I won't be here tomorrow." And then you say, "Well, and it's possible I'll give him 2 days. I'm not sure. I'll be back. You'll see me back when I'm ready to be back." I think if your employer, at least if he's counting on you to be there and needs you to fill your place, he would be disappointed. He would feel like you have some divided loyalties. Do you have divided loyalties when you serve Christ? Do you give him everything? Do you give him all your days, all your time? You can turn to Luke 9. We'll look at a passage here in Luke 9. Several more verses. That speak about this thing of divided loyalties, or those who are not fully sold out for Christ. Luke 9, verses 57 to the end of the chapter. "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, 'Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head.' And he said unto another, 'Follow me.' And he said, 'Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.' Jesus said unto him, 'Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house.' And Jesus said unto him, 'No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Divided loyalties will cause us to sway back and forth in our support and our following Christ. I think that's what Jesus seen in these individuals here that were asking if they couldn't do a few other things before they followed him. And I don't have this all figured out, how you balance between your family and then yet say that you, Christ comes first, your work, your occupation. We want to look a little bit at a few of those things, but it's something that is a challenge for me. Are we that committed that we're willing to let some of these less important things go to follow Christ? If we want to keep one foot in the door with Christ and another foot for ourselves, we're not fit for the kingdom. It's like putting our hand to the plow and looking back. How are we sold out for Christ? I want to look a little bit at how this happens. How can we do this? Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." How do we do this in 2021? I believe the one way we can do this is our bodies, giving our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. There in Romans 12, we looked at that. I want to read a passage in 1 Corinthians 6 that also speaks to this, about our bodies being the temple of God. One way that we can be sold out for Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, I'm going to read verses 19 and 20. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Are you your own, or is your body given over to God? A sold out Christian, I believe, will care for his body because he knows it's a temple of the living God. Maybe just a few practical ways on that. Get some proper rest and nutrition. If we're abusing our bodies by overworking, not getting enough of sleep, or an unhealthy diet, we're not providing a good, healthy temple for God to live in, to dwell in. I believe a sold-out Christian will keep his body free from harmful substances, addictions, such like. A sold-out Christian will dress modestly. Our temple is the body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we're not going to give in. A sold-out Christian will not give in to the pressures around us to adorn the body, to reveal the body in ungodly ways, to bring attention to ourselves. Instead, we want to point that attention to God, the one who dwells in our bodies. Another way, how are we sold out for Christ? Second thought, our possessions and our time. And this is where it gets a little hard to know how, and I think you each need to think about this, look at it, and make some judgments or some decisions on your own of how are you doing spending your time and your possessions. How do we be sold out for Christ totally and still have some involvement? We know we need some involvement in possessions. We still need some involvement in providing for the physical needs of our families. Did Jesus teach that we should get rid of all our possessions and only spend time with him? No, I don't believe that's what he was teaching. And I want to read another passage over in Mark 10, where Jesus talked about some of these things. Mark 10, verses 17 to 31, a little longer passage here that we will read. Mark 10, verses 17. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there come one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and said unto him, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses or brother or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake in the Gospels, but he will receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Jesus touched on a lot of things here in this passage about our riches and our possessions, the things that we have. This ruler that came to Jesus and asked what he could do to inherit eternal life. I want to notice a few things about him. I believe he was asking, what do I need to do to be sold out for you? Maybe we could rephrase it like that. What do I need to do to follow you, to inherit eternal life? Notice that Jesus loved him. I believe Jesus, in verse 21, it says, Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus has an interest in each one of us. And he has that same love that he had for this man, for each one of us. And wants us to live committed to him. And I think he can tell us each what we need to do to inherit eternal life. There's one thing that Jesus pointed out that stood in the way of this man being fully sold out. Was it his possessions? Was it his riches that he had? I believe it was his love for his possessions. It was the fact that he put them ahead of following Christ. He was unwilling to share them with those around him that were in need. He refused to give to the less fortunate. He went away sorrowful. He went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He was unwilling to give to the needs of those around him. Jesus also told him he would need to take up his cross and follow him. And that's another important part of this following, and this important part of that I believe ties into our time and our possessions. Jesus talked about cross bearing here in this passage back in Luke 9. I believe that's the passage we started out in that Jesus talked about cross-bearing. Denying self, we need to lay down our own desires, lay down our wills, our will, our dreams, our aspirations, and maybe at times God calls us to lay down our own life. It's part of cross-bearing. Cross-bearing is not something that our natural man enjoys. Rather, it means giving up something inside of us will need to die. Ourself, our own desires need to be laid down. Our will needs to bend to Christ's will. Our heart needs to be submitted to his will. Notice here in this passage, cross-bearing is a daily exercise. It's something that needs to happen every day, something that we need to do all the time. Not something that happens on Sunday morning, not something that happens Wednesday night, but it's every day. It's a daily exercise. Cross-bearing is not an end in itself. That would be asceticism, just denying ourselves something good just for the challenge or the experience we get out of it ourselves. Instead, cross-bearing, Jesus asks us to bear our cross so that we can better follow him. Following Jesus is the ultimate part of cross-bearing, or the ultimate blessing that we get from bearing our cross. This man was unwilling to give up his possessions to help others and then follow Jesus with all his heart. He had a divided heart that was trying to keep some of his riches for his own enjoyment and his own fulfillment. A challenge for me. Am I doing that? Am I tempted to do that? Notice, Jesus told this man if he gave to the poor, he would have treasure in heaven. I believe a sold-out Christian is going to be investing in heavenly accounts. We're going to be putting our treasures in heavenly places. So we look a little bit at this man, this young ruler, as an example of how he related to his possessions. Maybe give us a few things that we can gain from it, how we today, as Americans living here in America, where the American dream is pushed, earn as quick as you can so you can retire, you can sit back, relax, and enjoy life. Is that what we're doing? Is that rubbing off on us? Saving it, putting it away so that we can enjoy our life later. I believe if we're doing that, we're going to find ourselves at the same place this young man was. Instead, I think there's a few things we can do today. How can we give to the poor today? How can we do what Jesus asked this man to do? I think there's many ways we can be open-handed with our possessions today. One of them, giving through the local brotherhood. Every Sunday morning in our congregation, and I believe here as well, you lift an offering. Maybe that doesn't all go to help the less fortunate, those around you in need, but I believe it's giving to the brotherhood. It's giving back to Christ's kingdom. It's investing in heavenly treasures, putting our treasures in heaven. It's investing into the brotherhood, and it helps us to be tied closer to our brother, giving to the mission work of the church, giving a meal to a neighbor that's sick. And that's something small you can do, but those relationships, like Andrew did this morning, we heard about Andrew. He had small ways of touching those around him. Are you doing that this morning? You don't need to be out front there. You don't need to be making a huge impact, but are you willing to share with those you do know? I think there's many folks around us that we come in contact with that need a friend. They need a helping hand. They need a neighbor. Are you that neighbor? How can we give of our time? And maybe those of us that have families to provide for find it hard to know how to give of our time because we're busy. We have a lot that needs to be done. But young folks, young people, you're at an ideal time in life to be giving of your time. It's one of our possessions, one of the things that we have. It's valuable. Are you willing to give up your own plans, your own trip that you were hoping to go on, to be able to help with some evangelistic efforts? Are you willing to change your plans to go on a relief trip to help relieve the suffering of someone who, or the distress of someone who suffered loss through a storm or a natural disaster? Are you willing to give up your dream job to spend a year or two in voluntary service, maybe teaching school or serving elsewhere? If we're not willing to give up our plans for the call of the church or the needs of those around us, are we sold out for Christ? It's a challenge to me, and I think we need to each look at this individually in our own heart, and how are we doing it? It's not something that we can put this formula together that's going to work in every situation. What about the possessions we do keep? We do have some. that are used for ourselves. What about that? I think we need to remember God's the one who gave us, and we're just the steward. We're just using what he has given to us. A sold-out Christian will spend his money wisely, make purchases that bring glory to God. I believe our purchases can very easily be a place for us to bring the focus on ourselves and our own accomplishments. If we're not careful, we can get pride, be proud of what we have, what the earning power we have, what we can do for ourselves. Let's remember to honor God in what we do with our money. And then a sold-out Christian will not become devastated when calamity hits. Maybe your car or your truck is totaled. Does that devastate you? Is that the end? Is that just terrible? Yes, we don't want to be careless. We want to take care of the possessions God has given to us, but I think we need to hold them loosely. If God takes them away, or there's a disaster that strikes that they're taken away, remember God's the one that gave them to us, and he can take them away, just like Job did. He said, Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's remember to hold them loosely. The third way that we can be sold out, I believe, is in relationships. Maybe this is one of the more important ones. Matthew 5:23-24 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I believe a sold-out Christian, someone who is following Christ with their whole heart, is going to put a very high priority on relationships. If you know of someone in your life has a reason to be offended at you, Jesus taught us in this passage that's more important than worship. Let's go get that straightened out. Let's go find out what we can do to make that right. Worship is important, but Christ wants us to have our relationships. If there's someone that has something against us, let's go talk to them. And then in Matthew 18, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. This is the other side of the equation. In Matthew 5, looked at if we have offended someone, but here if someone has offended us, go search it out. Maybe the brother doesn't realize he has offended us. Again, Jesus put a high priority on restoring relationships. Maybe sometimes these two brothers meet on the way to talk to each other because the one was offended. The other realized he offended his brother. They both are going. I think that's what Jesus wanted to happen, for us to meet and work that out. Our effective witness in the community is dependent upon us being able as brothers to work together, to have peace and harmony in the brotherhood. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. How do you know if someone's a disciple of Christ? Do we have love one for another? How can we expect the world around us to see us as being sold out for him if we're bickering and fighting and arguing, trying to convince everyone that we're the ones that has life figured out and everyone else is still back there trying to figure out which way is up? Do we have that attitude that we have it figured out and others don't? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Let's put emphasis on these relationships in the brotherhood. The fourth way how we can be sold out for Christ is by giving our life. A sold-out Christian will be one who has signed that blank check, payable up to and including his life. It's probably something that maybe none of us will be called to do, but there is. In history, there's many stories of those who were asked to give their life because they were sold out for Christ. They were unwilling to turn their back. They were given an ultimatum. Will you recant your faith or suffer death? And they chose death over turning their back on Christ. How committed are you this morning? How committed am I this morning? Luke 14, we read this verse, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, and notice this phrase, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Are you willing? Is your life committed to Christ? What are some rewards of being sold out for Christ? We read in Mark 10, where Jesus said that when Peter, in verse 28, Peter said, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And then Jesus said to him, if you've left all, there's no man that hath left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Jesus promises rewards here in this life for giving everything up and following him. And I don't know if I can explain it fully or know how this works. How does Christ do that? That we would receive many, 100 times the amount of brothers and sisters, and if we give up our family. But is it possible that he's referring to the brotherhood? Sometimes our commitment, being sold out for Christ, causes strain or separation in some family relationships because there's those that don't see it that way or they feel like you're being too radical. But there is always the brotherhood. There's the other sold out Christians, those that we are a part of the family of God that are there to bless us, to stand beside us, to help us along in the Christian life. The blessing of brotherhood is one of the rewards of being sold out for Christ. Eternal life, the ultimate reward of being sold out for Christ. What that young ruler was looking for, he said, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? The ultimate reward of being sold out for Christ is life with eternity in heaven with Christ, with God. So, in conclusion, I want to turn back to Luke 14 again, where we started. Are you sold out? Are you fully committed? Have you given everything to Christ? Luke 14, I want to read a few more verses. We read verses 25 through 27. I want to read now 28 to the end of the chapter. Jesus gave two illustrations here of how, what we need to do, how we need to count this cost before taking this step, or when we're actually sold out, are we going to go the whole way? A challenge to, I want to leave with us to think about at the end of this message. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I found an interesting account of a present-day illustration of this first example that Jesus gave. There is a 47-story luxury condominium tower. It was to have 600 units in Bangkok, Thailand. It was being constructed in the 1990s. I think it was started in the year 1990. And when the Asian financial crisis hit in 1997, construction was halted, and it has sat vacant and unfinished for the last 20-odd years. That's 80% complete. But it's sitting there. It's now a deserted, abandoned tower, painted up with graffiti. It's a destination where urban explorers love to go to and climb this, and it's full of graffiti. There's crimes have been committed there. I believe it's a present-day example of this illustration that Jesus gave. 80%, but it's not complete. It's not useful. It's not useful for its intended purpose. Jesus is asking you and I to take our Christian life seriously. Are you going to go 80%? 80% through your life and give up? Be a deserted tower, empty shell? He wants followers who are 100% committed. They're willing to go the whole way. Be something useful in his kingdom. Challenge I want to leave with you to do that. Luke 14:33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Let's kneel for prayer.